Good morning, morning. How are you, Anna?
Good, good, good morning. It's getting really cold in here. I have
Oh,
to wear my
wow.
sweater.
Well, I'm here in Houston, so kind of like 70 degrees. It was cold last week, but not that cold. So pretty good. I
Now
love
it's
it.
30. It's 30 here.
30 degrees. Oh, wow. That's too early for me to be in 30 degrees at this time. How is everyone? How are you doing, Anna?
Oh, very well. I'm just a little sad because Kay is not here with us. You know, her input will be her input are very important also when it comes to mental health awareness. Provided that she worked here in the US as a traveler for almost 8 years. I mean, she met a lot of people. But other than that, I'm so excited and happy to be here. And we'll discuss all about mental health awareness. For all, I've been a nurse for 20 years, and I never really talk about my mental health, especially when I was in the Philippines. And I'm so happy that right now we are being open about it. And this is something that we have to be really open and be honest, especially when you come from other country. How about you, partner? Well, how's everything?
Doing good so far. So I'm excited because I'm starting my new job tomorrow. But I think it's a very timely discussion for us to do this because I think we had a mental health day or something this October. But even then, Anna, there are studies that are coming out that mental health issues are more pronounced with healthcare workers now,
Sure.
worse after the pandemic, right? So, I mean, we cannot discount the experiences of our healthcare workers, because to be honest, our jobs as nurses, we give so much to our patients. So it kind of like takes a toll on you as well. So I believe in that. I went through it as well. So I think
To be
this
honest, our
conversation
job is
is something that we really could talk about, especially for our immigrant community, because
true.
we also battle not only mental health issues, but also homesickness, which we talked about last week.
Very timely, right? I mean, all our topics are aligned, like we just don't jump to another topic, but we are aligned and we are connected. So, mental health awareness. What comes to your mind, partners, when you hear this word?
Well, I think nurses are knowledgeable about mental health because this is something we see with our patients. But there sometimes we have this thought where it would not affect us, or it might be too late before we see the signs, because we try to be resilient. Some of us have coping strategies, and during my master's degree about 10 years ago, I did a research about coping strategies, right? There are two different coping strategies. There are positive coping strategies that allows you to, mentally be stable and not have these chronic issues like depression and anxiety. But there's also bad coping strategies where it makes your anxiety or depression or even PTSD worse. So not all coping strategies are positive for your mental health, but sometimes as nurses, we try to tough it out. We don't want to talk about it because we don't want to be flagged as having mental issues when we're dealing with patients. We try to laugh it out. We try to make it a joke just to be, just to cope from the stress of our jobs. But honestly, we need to be talking about it more because I think a lot of nurses are getting affected with it. And not only that, Anna, there's also a social taboo. Every time we talk about mental health, there's also a social taboo, that that's the component of in nursing, I think, especially in our culture in Filipinos, that if you talk about mental health, that's being weak or that it doesn't exist. But
They
if you
will
think
make
about
fun
it,
of you.
you would hear things where they say, it's just an episode. You're just sad today. Try to do something that will make you happy. Well, that's actually good, but we cannot discount the fact that mental health are anchored with biological, biochemical processes in the body as well. So at one point, some coping strategies will not work and you might need to seek medical treatments or psychological treatments.
And as I mentioned earlier, the Aura, our Facebook group, I receive a lot of messages from our group, especially those who are newly arrived, that would like to go back home, not just because of being homesick. But they told me, Mamana, I can't sleep anymore. I can't eat anymore. I always think that something bad will happen to me, especially when I'm working. They're very anxious. They're always, they put a lot of negativity and they're not happy. They were like, Mamana, I thought this was the American dream that we've been waiting for. Why do I feel this way? And then, you know, I'm happy that they trust us, that they come to us so we can help them out. And we empty a lot was a big help for them because now we're acknowledging themselves that they need help and we provide help. We go open a lot, but we know that we do a lot of behind the scenes. So our nurse all. You work as a traveler nurse in the ER. I work in the OR. We have a different battle that we face every time we work.
Right?
I mean, you have your own war zone. I have my own war zone.
Correct.
So, and we often face intense stress, different level of stress, long hours, and emotional exhaustion. So why do you think that... what are the most common mental health issues that we nurses face that we don't want to talk about it?
I'd like to read this article from CDC. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking at right now. It's titled Health Worker Mental Health in CDC.gov. This is published by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, or NIOSH. Right, so it says here, challenging conditions put over 20 million U.S. health workers at risk for mental health issues, but supportive work environments can help protect their well-being. Healthcare workers include everyone working in patient care, such as nurses, physicians, home health aides, and medical assistants. So we're not only talking about nurses here. It also includes many others who serve in critical support roles, as well as public healthcare workers. The challenges they face in the workplace, including long hours, staffing shortages, and exposure to violence and harassment. Mental health concerns among health workers include stress, burnout, depression, anxiety, substance use disorders, ANA, and suicidal behavior. Burnout and poor mental health outcomes are long-standing concerns made worse by the unique challenges of the pandemic. A recent CDC Vital Signs compared data in 2018 before the pandemic with data in 2022 after the onset of the pandemic. It found that health workers are facing a mental health crisis, more than double the number of healthcare workers reported harassment at work in 2022 than in 2018. Half of health workers, 46%, reported often feeling burned out in 2022, up from 32% in 2018. And nearly half of health workers, 44%, intended to look for a new job in 2022, up from 33% in 2018. So other research has shown the top reasons for leaving healthcare included insufficient staffing, intensity of workload, and the emotional toll of the job. So we can see a trend, especially made worse by that pandemic after the pandemic, it's just got worse. A lot of people want to leave their jobs. We want to retire early, right? Okay, yeah. Retired early from family nursing, something like that. So because of all these things that healthcare workers are experiencing, if you are feeling suicidal, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room. This is just a disclaimer, okay?
Yeah. And we just like to remind, we are not an expert. We are not a psychiatrist or psychologist or therapist, but we are just like you. We are both working in the healthcare. We are both nurses. And at some point in our life, we experience having mental health issues. So talking about mental health awareness will help us, not just me and all, but also you guys. And please do not be ashamed. If you need help, if you need someone to talk to, call 911, talk to someone, ask for help. Because at the end of the day, your family loves you, your friends love you, you might not know it, you might feel that someone loves you, but yes, there is someone who loves you and cares for you. So, I don't know what our nurse told if I should share my life, but I am, you know me, I'm an open book for everyone. I have a brother. He passed away during 2020, I can't even remember, 2004. He committed suicide. I found him. I was able to revive him, but he only lasted for 24 hours. And then looking back, because we are in healthcare, I traced back my family tree. I asked my father, do we have a mental health issue in the family? And then I found out that aside from having a flat lip palate, because I am the third generation, we also have a mental health issue. I am not ashamed of it, because by knowing that, now I am aware what to look for and how to take care of myself and my daughter. I'm just sad that my brother didn't ask for help or didn't say something. And also knowing that, hey, I'm a nurse, I should know that, the signs and symptoms. Like what you said, we all nurses, we are invincible. We're not going to be affected by it. And we know that we can prevent it. So please, the first thing to do is to self-awareness. Be very honest with yourself. Do not be ashamed of it. If it's run in your family or you have a history, please have yourself checked. When I went to therapy, of course, when I was in the Philippines, no, because we're not aware of it, and it was very expensive. Now that I'm here in U.S. with the help of my husband, you know, we ask for therapy, and now I know that I am safe, that I'm not going to do anything about that, because I know that I am aware, and I know that there's a help. And like the partners all at home, you know, stress, long hours of work, burnout. I know we're getting paid per hour bigger than in the Philippines, but hey, you're not in the Philippines anymore. Your friends, your relatives, your neighbors. So there's a lot of factors that can contribute having a mental issue. So and I'm happy with partners that I'm able to share me. So please, if you need help, reach out. We're here, right? Even if you don't know us personally, and your secrets are safe with us. We will protect your identity. How about you, good partners? I know you had some therapy before.
Yes. Thank you for sharing your story, Anna. But see, this is what I'm saying, that the taboo is preventing a lot of people from seeking mental health. Mental health treatments, right? So we know for sure in medicine, in nursing, we study this in school, that mental health is not just a feeling or a face or an emotion. You're just sad, you know? Yeah. We know that there are biochemical processes that are involved here. Neurotransmitters may be high or low depending on your condition. So which means, even if you try to tough it out, if there are biochemical processes that are not in homeostasis in your brain, then that can be treated with medicine, you know. But a lot of people don't seek help because of the taboo, right? Because being scared of getting judged, you know.
Yeah.
I did go through therapy. I was at my lowest point, and I think that was the time that I had really bad depression. Back in 2021, right? This was also the same time that I was having PTSD that I didn't know that I had before, right? My childhood was rough, so there was a triggering event at that time. And to cut it short, I didn't believe in therapy before. I believed in toughing it out. You know, I don't want to talk about it because I was in
denial. It will go away.
Yeah, but eventually, you know, I had to talk to a therapist who encouraged me to seek medical treatment as well. Mm. And you see, I've been a nurse for years, right? I was at that time also an NP student. We study these things heavily. We see these patients in the hospitals. We see these patients in the clinics, right? You give these treatments to these patients. But at that point, I was like, I don't think I need help, you know, because if there's a problem, I would know myself. But I know there's already a problem, but I was still in denial. But towards the end of it, what I did was seek therapy. And therapy is a professional help. I remember my therapist saying, you know, you can talk to your friends all day long, but your friends will not provide you professional advice. They will not provide you an environment where they can absorb what you're saying and give you a perspective of a professional. So it's still very important to have therapy, to talk to someone about this who's professional, who's, you know, who knows what to do about these things. And she was also the one who encouraged me to undergo medical treatment, and that's how I started. And now I'm no longer taking any meds because it was just a phase. But for a bit, I was depressed. And I like, it was also like coming into winter season too. It, you know, it might be seasonal affective disorder or something like that. But I was not immune to it, you know? That was also the time that, that was the peak of the COVID. Right. So I was doing COVID crisis, working.
And you're in the ER. You clean all of it.
All of them. Right at the beginning, towards the end when it got better. Everybody's getting intubated. We're becoming ICU nurses because ICU would hold these patients for 3 months, 2 months, right? And then there's also this side where people don't believe in it and they blame you for that. So much, right? So that's 4 to 5 days a week. And then I still have NP school and go through clinicals the other 2 days. So there were times where I would only have 1 day off or no days off at all, right? So, but that's about it. So what I did was seek medical treatment. I was in between contract, and that's how I started everything. You know, I started journaling at that point. The therapist helped me walk through, like find the things that used to make me happy, and then, you know, coping strategies in short. So the therapist helped me verbalize the things that I could not verbalize because it was a taboo. So it was really hard for me to acknowledge these things. And, you know, as a nurse, like, I feel like I'm immune to it, like I said. So she helped me. She helped me open up, you know, things that I was scared to talk about because I grew up with a rough childhood. So everything was like, I built up a wall of, like, you know what I mean, to prevent me from getting hurt. But eventually I went to that point where I needed medical treatment. So I'm not ashamed of that. I keep sharing that. I got interviewed by Sigma. I was part of their podcast in season 1, episode 4 of a Nurse First podcast by Sigma.
I heard that.
Back in 2022. And I shared that. I've been very vulnerable in that podcast. You guys can see that in my link. I've also shared this in one of the shows that I did with Pinoy Nurse Portal Nurse Rebecca, but I'm not ashamed to say that because somebody might need to hear it, you know? And like we said, we're being vulnerable right now, Anna, because we're sharing these life stories of our first-hand experience with these things. Do not be scared to ask for help, all right? Yeah. Mental health is healthcare. So the same way that you treat, you know, and prevent your body from having diseases and medical issues and physiological problems, you also want to take care of your mental health. Because at the end of the day, guys, we're nurses, right? It's so hard to function as a nurse when you're going through something, right? I've seen nurses that went through substance use, right? That's their coping, right? And they get addicted to it. And they lost their jobs because of it.
Alcoholic, right?
Using illicit drugs, right? So it will cause a toll in your body, or you might also start hurting someone if you're working as a nurse and you have these issues, right? So seek medical treatment. Seek help from psychotherapists and try it. You know, some people think therapy doesn't work, right?
It wore actually helped, yeah.
At the beginning, I thought it was not going to work as well, but it was actually pretty good. I've been in therapy for like 2 years, and now I'm in between therapies, but it's been very helpful, Anya.
True, I have the psychotherapy therapy like 2022 or 2021 also, and I told my story. You know, I found my brother committing suicide, then I lost my mom for cancer, and then I lost babies. Sorry, so those events of your life will really trigger something out of you. We are not superhero. We are not invincible. And remember, you're not in the Philippines. You don't have your core, your neighbors that you used to talk to. You don't have your relatives, your favorite aunt or your uncle. You don't have your best friend with you. So you really have to be aware of yourself when it comes to your mental health. And at the same time, be open about it. And also, look for something that will make you happy, that you can release your emotion. Like, go for nurse or having some journaling. That's why I love planners. My planner slash my journal. And then that's why I also have dogs. I have Pomeranians. And then now I divert myself to comfort. Whatever will make you happy and will, you know, release your stress. And I like those, I like what you mentioned about the tendency, the research, the reasons why we have dreams. Because, you know, we are healthcare workers. We have license that we protect, and there's so many things that come to our mind. Am I getting paid enough? Am I sending money enough to my loved ones? Am I doing it right? This is now how I work in the Philippines or in the Middle East. Can I communicate well? You know, those little voices that you hear, when they combine together, they all add up. And later on, you will suffer, not just physically and then emotionally. And remember, you come a long way to arrive in USA. You finish, you pass your NCLEX, your IELTS. And now because you're scared to ask help, you're suffering silently. So please don't, because I just want to share this one member that sent me a message. They're not from the Philippines, they're from other country. But the wife sent me a long email, the corner called, about her struggles. She kept denying that she's okay, that I'm gonna be fine, my family needs me. And one day she broke down and cried at the middle of her work, and she worked in a nursing home. And then she was rushed to a hospital and she was admitted. And then later on, she was like, why am I doing this to myself? I forgot I have a 3-year-old. I forgot I have a family back home who's relying on me. So now she's on therapy. She acknowledges all her trauma, all her PTSD, and she's doing better. And she's not Filipino, the partner's old, but she found out Lipora, and she wanna say thank you for you and for the whole admin of Lipora and okay. So please reach out if you need help and be honest with yourself. When you're not happy anymore, there must be something wrong. And we have insurance here. And remember, in our employment, we have EP, we have help. We have line phone number that we can call.
We have, I think, majority of the healthcare organizations. If you're working in healthcare organizations, check your benefits from your employer. There is
HR, yep.
an EAP, Employment Assistance Program, where you can seek free psychotherapy. Right? Try it. It's part of your benefits. You can talk to your psychotherapist. It is confidential. It is private. It's protected by HIPAA because it's considered a medical visit. And again, we're not medical, what's this,
Expert.
experts here for mental health. What we're telling you guys are based on our experience, but there are available treatments. All right. There are lots of resources from cdc.gov talking about anxiety and depression. There's lots of resources available online. Of course, look for reputable resources. And there are also lots of treatments. Psychotherapy is one of those, but you can also start on low-dose medications like SSRIs or SNRIs, all right, to stabilize those neurotransmitters and all those biochemical processes that's going on in your brain and your body, all right? But seek professional help and don't be scared to talk about it. With me, I did both psychotherapy and meds, and it did help me. I do have panic attacks, Anna, and PTSD, so it's not helping. And then usually anxiety and depression are tied together. So it really wasn't helping. But at that time, I appreciated, you know, the journey more, right? Mm-hmm. That was also the same time that I was wrapping up my NP. I was going to take my NP boards. Mm-hmm. I took my NP boards in the middle of that chaos.
Wow, look at you.
And then I had 1 year left for the DNP, which was rough because I was battling. I was still at the height of the thing. In fact, one of my last semesters in DNP, because I stayed one more year to complete nursing education unit, so I'm qualified to take CNE or the Certified Nurse Educator exam. What happened was my scores were not doing okay at one point. So my professor had to talk to me. She's like, you've never been like this because your scores are always okay. You're always on time with your assignments and all that. And that was like my fourth year in the doctorate school because I was doctorate school for 4 years. And she was alarmed. So I talked to her, said it's going through something. And she was very understanding. But we're not always strong, all right? Sure. I was lucky because I was in between contract as travel nurses. We have that leisure to where I don't want to work right now. I'm going through something, right? And by the time I came back to work, I was, you know, more stable.
Happier.
And I'm not going, happier, like able to function. Probably happier is a subjective function, but able to function. Because sometimes when you're at the height of it, especially with panic attacks and PTSDs and all that, your ability to function is impaired, right? So some people are scared to get medical treatments because they don't want to get off work because they probably don't have savings or they have bills to pay and all that. But, you know, guys, stress and burnt out, all of these can eventually lead to mental health problems. So make sure that you take pauses, you know, take things slowly. Life is not a race, you know, it's not a race, it's a marathon, so take it slowly, take it at your own pacing, seek medical treatment, don't overwork yourselves. I know we're, as nurses, especially with the immigrant community, we're glorifying overtime so much, right? Because we all have financial responsibilities and financial goals to get there much quicker, but at what cost, right? At what cost? Because you might not even get there if the mental health issue is not treated properly.
True.
Right? Because with me, I think the main trigger was I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. I think I was burnt out. I was exhausted. And all these things suddenly started pouring. You know, when you're exhausted and burnt out, everything gets magnified. True. So you're like, I feel overwhelmed. Everything's happening at the same time. But it was actually not happening at the same time. I was building up, but I was denying it. Yeah. So because I was not focused on it, eventually it got bigger and bigger to where I needed medical and professional help. So take care of your mental health, guys. Mental health is healthcare.
So with me, the partners all, since we are kind of, you know, being vulnerable at this point in our life. So with me, my brother communicates with me since 2005. So I'm the eldest. I do not mourn because I have to take care of my father, who is a stroke patient, and my mom was an asthmatic diabetic. So I have to take care of everything. And then when I came here in U.S., my mom also went to 2019 of cancer. And we are very, very close. We talk a lot, long hours. And then, you know, I had miscarriages. So my trigger was when my mom passed away. What happened with me was I was passing out. And then they kind of find a real diagnosis. MRI was okay. I was okay. I've seen or neurologist all over in New York. And they kind of really see something wrong with me. And finally, they told me, you need to see a neuropsychiatrist. And as you know, guys, my husband is also a nurse. He works in medicine. At first, I go, what? Oh, you know, healthcare workers, we are the worst stubborn patient. I was like, I'm okay. I can do this. I'm strong. No, I'm resilient. I already passed those examinations. You know, try to be stronger. And then my husband said, let's just try it. Try it. And if it's not, then let's look for another option. So this is me being only honest with you guys. So I'm seeing a psychotherapist and I told him everything that I've been through. I found my brother on himself, my mom passed away, I lost this baby. I never really mourned those sad events of my life. Because for me, I want to move on easily. I want to move on, I'll start another day. It's okay, I'll be okay. Which is wrong. If you're hurt right now, if you're sad right now, because of the retrogression or because you failed, mourn for it, cry for it. You really have to go through the stages of depression, anger, those stages. Do not bypass it. So I spoke to the neuropsychiatrist, psychologist and psychiatrist, they're different. They did not prescribe me any medication but therapy. And then soon, my episode of passing out became less and less and less, and I was able to come for work. Like you, Dr. Nurse Old, I was in denial. No, that's not me. I'm okay. I'm totally fine. I'm an immigrant. I'm Filipino. Of course, I'm strong. Right? And I don't want to talk about it. I'm advocating for nurses, but hey, I forgot to advocate for myself. So this is us being honest with you guys. That we are not superhero. I'm not Garna. You're not Captain America. And we're immigrant. We hurdle a lot of struggles, a lot of suffering, a lot of heartbreak before we arrive in U.S. Please do not ignore what you're feeling, and seek help. Talk about it. Look for someone that you can confide, and remember, like the partners all said, seek a help or a professional, because of course they know better. I know you can Google it, you can open your book, you can YouTube it, but it's a whole new world when it comes to yourself.
Right, so, true.
Right, the partners all, you agree with me, so. We are here, we're talking about mental health awareness, and last week we spoke about homesickness. It's connected, guys, especially for those who are singles, because you have no support. I like you when you're married, you have your husband or your wife, and you have your kids that gives you more hope and require you to become stronger because someone is relying on you. And that's from my experience, the partners all. So those are the things that I need. Well, yeah. This is a nice topic.
You're right, right. How about our viewers? You guys can share your experiences, your coping strategies, or anything. So just put it in the comments. But Anna, what were your coping strategies? What worked for you? What didn't work for you?
So what worked for me was, especially when I spoke to the, when I had a consultation from the neuropsychiatrist, just like you, he let me pour out. He let me cry for a whole hour with all of those losses that I experienced. The problem with me, what did not work for me was, I'm strong. It's okay, it will pass. Positive thinking, Anna. Positive. This is wrong, the partner's fault. It's okay. Makakapasunin yan. It will be over soon. Masyado ko kami nagali. I rush it. And diba in our wound healing, there are stages. With me, no. Walang stages. I just want this to be over with. So that was the wrong type of mechanism. Coping mechanism. Being, ooh. Active, being too vibrant and happy, because I admitted maybe ignorant, I was ignoring the sad face. And then what helped me when I let myself cry now. When I'm sad, I'm gonna cry. If I see a movie, we can't hold back. We don't wanna be accused or be seen of weak. Ay, akala ko ba, Leora member, Leora admin, you could also be strong. You have a great story. You're an inspirational or influencer or advocate. And now you're telling me you're weak. So and in my mind, I failed 5 times of IELTS and I was able to pass it. It was a yes, that was my aim before. But after the consultation with the neuropsychiatrist, it opened, I get to know myself more. I have to be very honest, be authentic to myself. Like, yes, you're Filipino, of course you're strong. Yes, your mom told you I am young, but you have weaknesses too. If you need to cry, cry. And then aside from journaling, diary, I listen to a lot of podcasts. Aside from our GMP a lot, I listen to, you know, inspirational, religious talk and how to survive. Those are my coping mechanisms. And like you, we have our babies. They help us too, right? They need us.
Pets. Yep. All right. Thank
how
you,
about
Anna,
you?
For,
trainers all.
Thank you, Anna, for sharing and being vulnerable. With me, a lot of things. But first, guys, I'd like for you, this is what, on my first three sessions with therapy, my therapist shared this to me, and this is available in Netflix. Watch Brené Brown, Dr. Brené Brown's A Call to Courage, right? A Call to Courage. It's in Netflix. Just watch it. It's 1 hour. She talks about vulnerability and shame and stuff like that. And it's connection to your ability to love, you know? Mm-hmm. So with me, my main triggering event was a failed relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And whenever I have a failed relationship in the past, and I'm still not married today, but I do have a loving partner right now. But whenever I have a failed relationship, I blame myself. I get very hard with myself because of so many things, you know? There is always a feeling of inadequacy, of insecurity, of you're not good enough, or stuff like that. And then it starts messing up with you because you've also had baggages from the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I thought was already resolved. It's not resolved. I just put it in my, what was that, subconscious, unconscious, like whatever, memory, right? I put it off for a long time. Like I'd been, we were abused physically by our dad. So it was hard growing up because you can't make mistakes. If you make minor mistakes, you're gonna get hurt. You know, like you were trained to try to be perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, because if not, you're gonna get hurt, right? And that means rejection, and that means so many things, shame, and all these things. So you tend to, as I grew up, I tend to not talk about it because that's a shameful part of my past, right? Mm-hmm. And it did affect a lot of my relationship in the past because of that, you know, like my definition of how to be loved and accepted got messed up as well, right? Because I'm not able to define love correctly, right? I'm focusing on my experience because it's a maladaptive coping. To cut it short, it was not a good coping strategy. So with the therapy, we were able to pull that all out. We went to kind of like root cause analysis, if that makes sense. Going back to my childhood experiences, we did so many activities, journaling, you know. My therapist had me write everything that I can remember from per year, right? Just per year. Like if you say, I was born 1986, 1987, do you remember anything? 1980, 1993, what's a significant thing that you remember at that age? So until we can find out. And then it stood out that majority of the things I remember are painful things, right? You know what I mean? So something like that. And then so many different things that I was not able to do by myself. But try therapy. That's what I could say, you know, because I didn't know these things. I thought depression is depression, anxiety is anxiety. Okay, there's medical definition to it. There's medical signs and symptoms. But at the end of the day, right, what are we going to do about it? We still need to have medical health, professional help. And a lot of nurses, I'm saying this to our colleagues, to our nurses, particularly to our immigrant community, a lot of our nurses are going through this. They just don't want to talk about it or something like that. But guys, seek professional help. With me, coping strategies, you know, I love to travel. So I travel, whether I have a budget to fly to somewhere. I love Europe. I love big cities. I love history. I love architecture. So I go to places where I learn new stuff about a new place. Or if not, I would drive, you know. I love talking to my friends. If there's one thing that I realized during this episode was that many people, because my lowest point, Anna, I was suicidal, right? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I didn't act on it. But I was at my lowest point, I was suicidal. That's when I know something is wrong. Mm-hmm. And I either do something about it now or nothing's going to ever happen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was scared. I was scared of what I could do to myself. I didn't want it, but there's an overpowering emotions like I've never felt before, but it's probably helpless, all the hormones, right? You feel helpless and hopeless and too much doubt and grief and all these things, so there's no way coming out of that, you know. But but you know, therapy help, journaling help, talking to friends, you know, I started talking to friends more.
Reliable one.
I was more vulnerable after that. I've learned to communicate more, you know, like, I don't like this because it hurts me, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you just let people do that, you know, like do things to you and you don't tell them that it hurts you or something like that. It actually hurts you. So my communication got better. You know, I love music, so I attended lots of concerts as well. And
Karaoke.
I love singing too, even if singing doesn't love me. So so I have my karaoke machine. I went up to the Philippines to visit family, reconcile with family. And of course this, you know, our public service to our community. This is my therapy. If I see at least one person get inspired with my story, if I help another nurse pass the NCLEX, I feel like, you know, that makes me feel good. That makes me feel like I have a sense of purpose. Because at that time, I lost my sense of purpose. You know, like, I feel like, what else am I here for, right? Well, why am I here? You know, like, but that's about it. That reminds me of my purpose. That reminds me of using my life story to inspire people like me that, you know, there is a way out. You know, like, past traumas are from the past, right? It makes up who you are today, but it should not stop you from becoming a better version of yourself or finding your purpose, inspiring others, or, I mean, not better version of yourself, the best version of yourself with all your potentials, something like that. But lots of coping strategies. But it's different from people to people. That's why it's best to get medical help or psychotherapist and medical treatments, because you would also learn what works for you in an individual manner, right? Because maybe travel is not appropriate for one person because they have families. It's not like they can just leave, right? And, you know, go on a
summer getaway.
Summer getaway. But, you know, I also like this trips where I go by myself to clear my head, you know, so I can think better and it's more quiet, because I'm a person who likes fast-paced environment. I feel like I think better that way. But some of the times you need to calm down and, you know, you need a quiet environment.
Maybe you your own self. So,
So that's what I do. It's all about individualizing your treatment, because all of us are different.
And what we always mention, there's no one size fits all. What works for me may not work for you. So like what I said, what happened to my brother, I became aware of myself. So now I have to, I know what to look for. I know what to watch out for, because I experienced it firsthand. with my brother, and when I came back, my family in Korea, it really runs from the family, and I don't want that to happen to me. So now, my annual is well. Not right, just right. My cholesterol level, not just my LDL or my sugar level, but also my mental health. And aside from that, I love walks with my dogs, the corner school, and the music. Right. It helps me. And even if my husband always comes with my comfort, I go to comfort by myself too. And he just let me, you know, okay, you want to go get by yourself? I'm okay with that. And I also give space to my husband. And and also, he's also an immigrant, right? We're both Filipinos also. So you have to really help one another. So when you have a spouse, you help one another, support one another, instead of you attacking one another or blaming one another. Because at the end of the day, you have a kids or children that rely on you. And if you're going to let yourself be beaten up by your mental health issue because you're so proud that you don't want to ask help, your kids will suffer. Remember, you aim for America because of your kids and for your family. So please always ask for help. Do not give up. There's hope. There's help. We have insurance here. You have EAP from your HR department. Reach out for that. For all, I just want to read Adrian Legaspi. His coping strategies are he talks to his family and friends back home every day. And he's very grateful and thankful because, you know, he has a very strong support system for both the Irish community and Filipino community as well. Also, talking to your family back in the Philippines every day makes it more bearable. On my part, to continue on with my life as an immigrant nurse. In addition, having a strong spiritual relationship with him makes it much easier for me, as well as my dream, goal, and desire of my heart. Wow, that's a very great coping mechanism. Like what we always say, it's not one size fits all. There's a lot of ingredients, spiritual, emotional, physical, you know, so whatever will work for you, do it. And now that my mom passed away, my father's still alive, but he's not really into Facebook. So it's an old school asshole that I have to really call him. So please try your best to reach out and do not be scared, do not be shy. I received some messages right now, the corners all, they don't want to make a comment because they don't want to be exposed. But one of the lady from other state comment I got, during the first few months of her life as a single immigrant, it was hard because her family, her neighbors, he means, you know, the old type of Filipino way of living. And then at work, he struggled the most because of the accent of different people and the adjustment, the culture. And he said, I was so depressed, Mamana, I almost want to end everything. Thank God I found Glipora and GNP, and you helped me by your light. So please continue to help others. And do not be shy sharing your own personal experience. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. You're always in our prayers. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, vulnerable, being open. We are just like you, right? The corners all.
Right, right, right. But thank you for sharing your stories, guys. It's really, I appreciate that you guys are sharing these stories. But last words for me, Anna, would be for nurses. You know, stress, burnt out, all these things are perfect ingredients for having anxiety, depression, plus whatever you've went through in the past can also, you know, affect you. But guys, take care of yourselves. That's what I'm going to say. You know, like I said, we're not going to give you medical expert advice, you know, but seek treatments if you can. Talk to people. If you're feeling suicidal, that's an emergency. Please call crisis hotline, call 911. Mm-hmm. All right. You are not alone in this journey. Mm-hmm. There are people who can help. And as nurses, we try to tough it out and be resilient. But guys, we need to take care of ourselves. It will be hard to take care of our patients if we're not able to take care of ourselves. It will be hard to take care of our families, of our loved ones. I know a lot of us are breadwinners and are sending money to our families in the Philippines or something like that. But it will be hard to provide for our loved ones, to our families, if we are not well ourselves, all right? Sometimes it is best to step back and look at the whole picture, all right? And deal with these things firsthand, all right? What I remember my therapist telling me is, you know, there's a bad connotation of like being selfish. If we're being selfish, that's a bad thing, right? But sometimes you got to be selfish and focus on yourself first, because nobody else will take good care of you but yourself. Nobody else know your individual struggle but you. So as much as we want to be there, present for our loved ones, for the people who rely on us, but if we're not well, how can we provide for them, you know? Like, how can we help them? So don't be scared to seek treatments. You don't have to share it to everybody and publicize it, right? Of course, friends are also good coping strategies. So close friends, choose your friends wisely too, because you don't want it be blasted on TikTok or Instagram that you're going through something. But it can stay confidential, but, you know, seek treatments. There are employee benefits that you can use for free. Try it, you know, use those free psychotherapy and see if that's something that works for you. You know, spirituality is also one of the coping strategies, and that's a good thing. People go back to church or form their community in the church. That's also good, because it's really hard. You know, our struggles as nurses, plus being an immigrant when you're new here, or you moved into a new city when you don't know anyone, or you're starting a new job. All of these are like can cause you to have mental health crisis. So guys, don't forget work-life balance. Take care of yourselves, all right? Mentally, physically, socially, psychosocially. In order for us to be able to be able to help our patients, our families, our loved ones, we need to focus on ourselves first. Are we well? Are we okay? Mm-hmm. All right. There are many resources online that you can check. There is a tool that we use in primary care to screen for depression, Anna, like you said. For your annual visits, we all do this. It's called PHQ-9. All right. It's a tool. It's a questionnaire. Try to answer those questions, and there is a scoring system. Just see, right? Screen yourselves. But like I said, we're all nurses, but seek medical treatment if you want to know more about it, right? There are medications available, low dose, very safe, very few side effects, all right? That can help you normalize the neurotransmitters and the biochemical modulators for these psychiatric conditions. So seek help, right? There are many treatments that are effective, psychotherapy being one of them. And again, psychotherapy is a professional psychotherapy, not talking to your friends.
That's or one of the creating a group cut.
Yeah, because what I like about psychotherapy is it dissects you individually. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, even if you say two people have depression, I have depression, Anna has depression, it's our experiences of it, manifestations, triggering events are way different. So that's what psychotherapy is about. It's an individualized therapy for you to help you, right? So try it. I really benefited from that a lot. And I still carry a lot of those learnings from my psychotherapy.
I'm sorry to cut you. When I had that session, the partners for me opened a whole new world. I was like, oh,
yeah.
That's me? So the organizations take a lot of work going first. All I'm gonna say is before you advocate for your patient, please advocate for yourself first. Okay, I know we want to be, oh, you're in a we're strong, we're family oriented, but please know, no one is invincible. We're not superheroes. We are just human who want to provide for our family, but at the end of the day, you cannot function well if you are not mentally stable or you're not mentally healthy. So thank you so much, the owners all. This is a very vulnerable topic. I was crying hard not to be emotional because I want people to know that this is happening. It's happening and you cannot run away from it, but there are people and available help. Thank you so much for being with us. MK, we miss you.
Miss you, Kay. She's on a trip right now. Yes, her flight again. Got moved.
Traveling. So we're going to hear more about her escapades the following week. And yes. Thank you so much. Have a good Sunday. Be strong for your family. Advocate for yourself first before you advocate for your client. The partners all, what a beautiful topic. Thank you so much for being open.
Anna, for next week, our episode 50. Wow, episode 50. Wow, Anna, we have 50 episodes so far. Yes, we have a guest. We're going to talk about nursing informatics, Anna. This is one of the rising profession career opportunity for nurses. We're going to invite one of our immigrant colleagues, Dr. Ian Kibrit, who is also a nurse informaticist. He's going to share his experience, career opportunities about nursing informatics. And this is very exciting because with me, to be honest, Anna, I would want to go back to school to do informatics, you know, like
you're running away from bedside.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of demands as well, but running away from bedside. but this is a good career opportunity. One of the rising specialty in nursing. Mm-hmm. So see you guys next week in DNP Unlocked. And that will be 8 a.m. Central Standard Time here live in Facebook, YouTube, and my LinkedIn. See you guys.
And Spotify. Oh, hold on.
I forgot. Yeah, sorry. All right, I just got reminded. I have a live Q&A tonight.
I'll join you. If I'm available, I'll join you.
Please, are you not working today?
I will, but it's only on call. So I might join you.
This is 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. to you. If you're not on call, join me. This will be live stream in my page and in Lefora. So we're also going to award NCLEX for NCLEX raffle later and Tap send credits. So that's 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's going to be 9 a.m. in the Philippines. I'll see you guys in my live Q&A. Don't forget to download DNP Unlocked, an immigrant nursing podcast. In Apple and Spotify. It's available. All our episodes are there. And if you are one of the immigrants who are sending money to the Philippines, don't forget to use TapTapSend. Yeah, and use my code DNP to get $20 bonus when you send money from US, Canada, European Union, UK, UAE to the Philippines. $20. $20 bonus on your first transfer. Great exchange rate, zero transfer fees, and very fast remittance. You can now use GCash directly to send to the Philippines. Thank you, guys. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye, Anna.
Bye, Carl. Bye, everyone. God bless you.